The economy is moving in the right direction. The drop in unemployment is one more sign that the economy is strengthening. Data released just this week showed new car sales were up, housing sales were up. Purchasing Managers Index was bullish on the manufacturing sector. And people should take note of the fact that interest rates are falling to levels that we haven't seen since 1977. Although I believe that the economy is on the right track, let me be the first to say all is not well. I'm deeply concerned about those who are out of work. Unemployment benefits are important. Congress should provide a responsible extension of such benefits. The bill that we've been for some time, the Dole bill, does just exactly that. And I'll sign a bill that helps people and also protects the overall economy by keeping to the budget agreement. As I said, there is a bill in Congress to do that right now, and if Congress gives me that bill, I will sign it immediately. I'll be glad to take some questions.
Mr. President?
Yeah, Terry.
You said this morning that you're committed to the restoration of the democratically elected government in Haiti. Are you willing to go beyond economic pressure to the use of multinational military intervention to defend democracy?
Well, I am very hopeful that this matter can be resolved without such a multilateral force. The United States has been, and properly so, very wary of using U.S. forces in this hemisphere. There's a lesson out there for all presidents, and the lesson I've learned is that you got to be very, very careful of using United States forces in this hemisphere. So I'd like to think that this mission by the Organization of American States will do it. We are committed to democracy in Haiti. We want to see Aristide restored to power. We had a long talk with him today, not only about the restoration of that, but he reiterated a commitment to human rights there. So let's hope that that can be done without any kind of force. I hope that's what the result will be of this multinational mission that's going down there under the leadership of the OAS. I think that's the way to go. They've had a hearing in the United Nations, and the United States clearly is upset when internal affairs result in the setting back of democracy, and that's what's happened. So we're committed to the restoration of democracy and a strengthening of democracy in Haiti. We feel very strongly about it. I am reluctant to use U.S. forces to try to accomplish it, except if American citizens' lives are in any way threatened. Of course, I feel that is a direct concern and responsibility of the president.
Would you take part in a multinational force?
Well, I think we got to wait to see. I don't want to get out ahead of where this OAS mission is, and I would like to see it succeed without having to use force or having to put together such a force, say nothing to use it.
Mr. President, what should 10 million people who are out of work and the 95,000 people in Michigan who were taken off welfare rolls, what should they do now to survive until the economy does rebound?
They should demand of their Congress to pass a bill that the president can sign. And I'm committed to such a bill to extend unemployment benefit compensation. And I'd like to have it passed and sent down here. And if it means vetoing a bad bill so that the people that are working and the people whose families are hurting but are just making ends meet so that they can have a better shot, and I'm talking about not breaking the budget agreement, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to take something that's bad. And so what they ought to do is demand of their congressman, let's not just try to get it your way up there. Do something that the president can sign that will help us with unemployment benefits, but will also protect the other taxpayer. Let's don't forget some of these people still pay taxes, even though unemployed at the moment. And I'm trying to protect the economy as well as do something compassionate for those that are out of work. And Helen, I was in Pittsburgh the other day talking to some friends after a political meeting up there. They didn't even know that we were for this proposal. There's been so little coverage of it. And why, I'm for unemployment benefit extension and doing something about it, and I'm also for protecting all those that aren't working and that are working who pay taxes. And one way you do that is to keep the Democratic Congress from busting the budget agreement.
Mr. President, will that feed the people, pay the rent, and help them to get jobs
yes,
at this particular
my
point?
Yes, my program will, yeah.
President.
Sir, we've heard that from some of your advisors that you are actually considering taking some kind of strong remedial action to boost the economy, to give it a kickstart. Any truth on that?
Well, as I've said, I'm very pleased that the unemployment numbers today, I remember back in my previous incarnation as vice president when they were far higher than this, and it was resisted some of these government job proposals. I would like to see something done in the way of a growth package. I think that would stimulate the economy immediately. It doesn't have to take effect. It just has to get the confidence that a reduction in capital gains would give it, because it would create jobs and people would see it. People would invest more. And this is kind of cynically looked at by some political leaders as a tax break for the rich. There's something that would help immediately. It didn't have to go in effect. It would send a message of confidence to investors. So there are things of that nature that we've proposed in our growth package that I think would help. On the other hand, I am encouraged that the statistics that I've given you, and there are other ones, indicate an improvement. My problem is there's a disconnect between the statistics and the order books. And I want to see this good news of that today followed on now by more orders and more employment. But I must say I think that it's moving in the right direction.
So as we move into a presidential election here, the Democrats think you are vulnerable on the economy, and there is a feeling around the country that you've decided to let Allen do it, Greenspan, at the Fed Reserve, lowering interest rates. That really is your only strategy, other than...
I beg your pardon, I just gave you a strategy, John. You must have missed what I said about capital gains reductions, about IRAs, about R&D extension. You see, these are things that would help stimulate the economy. And I don't know why people are tone deaf up on Congress about this. It would help, and it wouldn't bust the budget agreement. And that's what I'm trying to do, and things are moving, and they're moving in the right direction. And thank God this recession hasn't been as deep as previous recessions. But when people are still hurting, I want to do what I can to help. But it doesn't help to simply add more to an already intolerable deficit. And so therein lies the big difference. But we've got a good program for growth, and I'd like to see the Congress move on it. But when you don't have the control of it, it's pretty hard to even get it considered. Yeah.
One matter that has received quite a lot of coverage around the country is this latest episode on Capitol Hill with the checks bouncing and the restaurant bills going unpaid and so forth.
Checks and balances? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Britt. Excuse me.
You've gone to some lengths to provide or to attempt to provide leadership on ethical matters in the executive branch. What's your reaction, sir, to these goings on?
I say they ought to sort it out themselves.
Don't you have an opinion on it?
Huh?
Do you have some view of it?
I'm afraid that anything I say on it would be considered political. And you know how I'm trying to avoid that. No, I'll let them sort that matter out themselves. And I do think that it's hurt the Congress in the eyes of the American people. And I think they're trying to move to correct that.
Mr. President, there are reports from Paris today that the Mideast Peace Conference will convene in late October. What is the status of preparations for those talks, and has a time and place been set?
There are no preparations in the sense of, logistics for that I know of. No dates have been set. And a lot depends on what happens in the next couple of weeks as to whether such a conference will take place at that time. I certainly would like to think that we could get on with this, but I don't want to mislead you. I was briefed just before I walked in here about a statement out of Paris. It sounded to me a little more firm than where we are right now.
There have been complaints in Israel that by delaying these loan guarantees, you're prejudging the settlement issue and tilting toward the Arabs. How do you respond?
I disagree with that. My position has been one of, in a sense, a reiteration of long-standing U.S. position, and I think it was the right thing to do. I'm very pleased with the strong support from the American people for the position I've taken. The position, the support from around the world is strong, and I think it's not prejudging or getting on one side or another of this ageless dispute. Yes, yes.
If we could get back to the economy for a minute. The Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers show that there are now 300,000 fewer jobs today in this country than there were when you took office. What does that say about your overall economic performance? And why
I was hoping you'd ask it. Go ahead.
Now, why do you think the recovery has been so slow?
Let me tell you something. The statistics that come out today take even the household survey, which has been the one that was cited, and raise it up. So that's the fact is no longer true, the statistics that some of the congressmen were using. It's no longer true. In addition, there is the establishment survey that shows a very substantial increase in employment, as will the household survey now. So you asked the wrong question. You're a day late because of... Yeah, try another one.
Do you still think that you can adhere to your promise to create, I think it was 30 million new jobs in 8 years?
30 million, 8 years? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I gosh, I don't remember being quite that optimistic about being elected at the convention, but I think the economy is recovering. I think it will be more robust as we go along here. Job creation is fast. Now, whether I live up to 30 in 8 years, I don't know, but I get through these first 4 years, right? That's what I'm focusing on right now.
What's your goal? What do you think you'll be able to do?
I can't give it to you in exact figures. I've learned just to avoid all the predictions now, including 30 million in 8 years. But I'm very encouraged with the way it's happened. And the statistic you asked about is outmoded by just a tenth of one percentage point. That's the thing that's amazing about this economy. So the 300,000 was so totally wiped out. Can't give you the exact figure, but maybe one of our experts can.
Yeah. Mr. Bush, do you totally dismiss the testimony that the Senate heard this week that your nominee, Bob Gates, cooked the analysis at the CIA for political reasons?
If that's the charge, I totally dismiss it. I think it's an outrageous assertion against a very honest man, a thoroughgoing professional, and that's the worst charge that can be leveled against an intelligence officer. And I know Bob Gates, and I know he would never cook the estimates.
Does it trouble you, however, that these people who might end up working for him put a good deal on the line to tell Congress their opinion? With
no,
presumably
I think
to
they
gain.
Have every right to do that. I haven't seen, as sitting here as President of the United States, these allegations before. These people haven't felt to come to the... I don't know that they went to the Inspector General of the agency before. I hope the record shows they did. It'd be good something to look into. Have they accused this good man of the worst kind of sin you can have as an intelligence officer, which is politically slanting estimates? But I'm saying I don't believe it about Bob Gates. I know enough about how estimates are achieved that I know sometime somebody has to make a decision. And every analyst, every junior analyst, cannot have his or her estimate be the one that comes to the President of the United States, you see. So I just have total confidence in Bob, and I certainly will defend him against that charge, which is really you have to know and have a feel for the intelligence community to understand how serious a charge that is in that business.
Mr. President, the field of Democrats who want your job are now pretty much announced. What is your assessment of your competition?
When I become a candidate, and if I become a candidate, I will be glad to assess. But no, I'm not even sure I'll do it then. I'll let the Democratic primary process go forward. I'll let the voters sort that out without any editorializing from me on it. They're all going after their nomination. And then I think the process will work as it traditionally does, that when you have a general election, there will be a lot of to and fro on assessing. But I don't really think it would be helpful for me to kind of analyze and point out. It's like the questions I get here. Please tell us your three greatest weaknesses as President of the United States, or the Saturday Night Live and the over there. I want to stay out of that.
Well, Mr. President, do you agree with some other Republicans that your reelection is basically at this point a lead pipe cinch?
No. I certainly don't, and I'm not going to approach it that way. If I become a candidate with finality, I'm not going to approach it in that way at all. Yeah.
The G7 finance ministers will meet with the Soviet Union and amongst themselves in Bangkok next week. Do you support the idea of a temporary bridge loan to the USSR if it becomes necessary, and or additional agricultural credits or U.S. purchases of Soviet oil for our strategic
I'm waiting for our agricultural secretary to come back, Ed Madigan. We're having meetings going on right now with the Secretary of the Treasury, who's come back, Secretary of State, who also met with the leaders. So it's too early for me to say anything other than if people are starving or there's a shortage of medical supplies, the United States will not be found wanting. I just don't want to go into it any further.
Do you have a message? Could I follow on the domestic? So do you have a message for the G7 ministers as far as promoting world growth? Would you like to see interest rates come down?
Yeah, I'd like to see lower interest rates, and I'm glad that we're that's being accommodated here with very, very low incidences of inflation. You know, they used to have a thing called the misery index. Some of the people that followed politics remember that. That was unemployment and inflation added together. Thank God, even when people are hurting, that misery index is lower than at some of the times in the recent past. So within the last 15, 20 years, it's not doing badly. Having said that, I don't want to sound that I'm unconcerned about the people that Helen asked about. Yeah.
You said a minute ago something I didn't quite understand, that capital gains didn't have to go into effect to have an effect. What did you
exactly mean? Confidence in the economy. You see, what I think is that what the economy needs is a shot of confidence. Banks have money to loan, and they're not particularly willing to loan it. Good banks should make good loans, for example. Now, some of that can be blamed on regulatory excess. Some of it, I think, is a lack of confidence. But I think if as soon as they see in place steps that will strengthen, that clearly benefit the economy, before those benefits are actually felt, I think people will start moving and investing and see this economy take off more. That's what I was talking about.
Besides jawboning the issue, sort of what we're doing here, is there anything you can do unilaterally, though, to help the recovery along?
I don't know exactly what one can do unilaterally and except jawboning.
Yeah.
And we're taking the steps that are not unilateral steps and trying to get steps taken that are not unilateral. So as you see this economy recovering, I think it's all right to try to instill confidence in the marketplace, but I don't want to be unrealistic about it. I don't want to be euphoric in my optimism, that I do feel optimistic about the economy. It'll be unrealistic. There are some things, maybe there is more we can do, you might say unilaterally, in terms of regulatory excess. But we're taking a look to see. And we've taken some steps, and they have not corrected the problem, frankly. So we'll be trying to find out. Yeah, Jim?
One of the most serious charges leveled during these Gates confirmation hearings really doesn't have anything to do with Gates personally, but the agency as a whole, that it's been dead wrong on everything from moderates in Iran to the fall of the government and the Soviet Union. Are you concerned that there's been some degradation of the agency over the past decade?
No. You see, I'm the ultimate consumer of intelligence as president. I'm briefed every morning in a very select document called the PDB, President's Daily Brief. I see as much as I want to, and I get under my way of running the presidency, the director comes down almost every morning, but a briefer is in there every morning at 8 o'clock. I see the intelligence product. And yes, there's some mistakes made, but when you're dealing with measuring intentions, please understand it is unlike counting beans or counting rockets or counting tanks. They're very different. And so when you're measuring intentions, of course there's going to be people that make mistakes. But as far as I'm concerned, as the ultimate consumer of the intelligence product, I think it's been very, very good, and I am absolutely confident that we have the best intelligence service in the world. I know it. I know that for fact certain. And we share intelligence very carefully with foreign leaders from time to time, and they are always impressed. So I have no hesitancy in representing that to the American people. It's something I know something about.
But these aren't just some mistakes. I mean, these could be considered monumental mistakes.
Well, if you'd cite one, I can be glad to comment on it. I don't know which ones.
In Iran, with moderates in Iran, and the collapse of the Soviet government.
I don't remember the estimates. I'd have to look at it myself to tell you whether I thought ex post facto that there was anything, you know, how egregiously wrong there were. Of course, their mistakes are going to be made when you're looking for needles in a haystack or when you're looking for moderates in Iran. But let me just tell you this. Does anybody think today, is there anybody out here that would say that this regime under Mr. Rafsanjani is less moderate than Khomeini? Absolutely not. And so, I have to refresh my memory on what the charge is, but there is clearly a move now in Iran to be a little more on the, what I would say, reasonable side, moderate side. And I hope that continues, because I want better relations with Iran. And I think they know, and we know, American people know what it's going to take. It's going to take a full accounting for hostages. And if Iran has one iota influence, they ought to release the hostages. Then we can get back together a little. So, again, Jim, I'm not trying to avoid your question. I'm simply saying you're dealing in degrees here. And I think most observers of Iran would say things are a little different than they were under the more radical Khomeini regime.
Mr. President, I think the United States is the only Western industrialized nation that does not guarantee a pregnant woman the right to have her job back and does not allow parents with legitimate family emergencies to take leaves. You vetoed a bill last year that would have provided that, and now you have another one. Are you perhaps entertaining a change of heart?
I'd look at the bill, but I'm not entertaining any change of heart. I don't want to see any more mandated benefits. I want to see these matters resolved the way they should be. And I don't think it's the we need a larger federal participation in the problem you outlined. And I've been very consistent on it. I was that way all along. And I think that we're here talking about jobs. We're here talking about competitiveness. And we're here talking about how we can show more compassion. One way is to have a more vibrant economy where they can do a lot more things of that nature. So I'm not inclined to change my position at all. Last one back there. I got to go to Camp David on an domestic education program we're working on there.
The General Assembly started.
We have Lamar Alexander's up there with this school. We're trying to revolutionize the schools, and he's got together a group of people that private sector that are willing to to contribute fantastic sums of money to help us. Sarah, please let me finish. You misunderstood. Really do a job on revolutionizing the schools, and it's a wonderful program, and I want to go up there and give it strong support. Yeah, last one.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Have you given any more thought to Iran's...
Come on. Yeah, Mr. President, at the General Assembly, you said you thought that you'd like to see the cooperative effort that led to Desert Storm lead to a just government in Baghdad, and that seemed to be the first time you've actually suggested that UN take on the job of replacing Saddam. Did you mean that they should take an active part, and what are you going to do to implement that? And what do you have in mind? What did you have in mind?
Well, I've got in mind all along what I said is that I'd like to see Saddam Hussein out of there so we could have more normalized relations. Our argument is not with the people, never has been, never was at the height of the war. And I made that very, very clear as we went along. So it is with Saddam Hussein, who's continuing to brutalize his own people. And that's just the way it's going to be. And
right,
so
you've said that all along, but you've always said nature would have to take its course, that wasn't the UN mandate. But it seemed that at the UN, when you said you'd like to see that cooperative effort actually bring it about, and you said when it does, that you were going beyond that and asking the UN to take steps here.
Well, I have to review. You're getting me with the context not quite so clear in my mind. But if there's any question about wanting Saddam Hussein out of there, let me reiterate, we want him out. And if there's any question that it would benefit the people of Iraq, let me lay that one aside. It would be of great benefit to the people of Iraq, and the United States and most of the other countries I know are going to keep these economic sanctions on until there's a dramatic change there. And we're going to still continue under the UN resolution to permit the sale of oil properly supervised so that the funds from that go to the people in terms of food and medicine. So that policy. Yeah, Francis, this is the last one because Sarah, come on, lighten up, will you?
Have you given any more thought to Mitterrand's call for a four-power summit to discuss the nuclear arms reduction?
I've not heard from him directly on that. I am very pleased, incidentally, with the way the response is coming in from around the world on our initiative of a week ago. Very pleased indeed, including the Soviet Union. But look, we'll participate in whatever it is in order to hurry the day that we have a lower levels of nuclear weapons. I just don't want to address myself to a specific proposal because I haven't seen it, haven't analyzed or anything of that.
You would be willing to go to a summit to discuss that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I got to watch foreign travel. I don't want to have it leveled against me that I'm interested in only one area here. But this brings home, I'm just thinking of this press conference. I kept a little score sheet here. This brings home a point I'd like to raise. I think we got a very good domestic agenda. And I know I'm very concerned when people are out of work. And I think we've got a good alternative to help. Alternative from what the leaders in the Congress are putting forward. But for obvious reasons, there continues to be understandable fascination with and interest with what's going on abroad. I didn't take a question here on Haiti. I thought I would. So I understand. Just, I consider that a question. Let me revise it. Okay, so we got one question on Haiti. But I'm making a point. Please let me finish the point. The point is a president has to deal with these things. You can have every congressman and every group can deal much more openly and be much more engaged on the domestic side. But on foreign policy, there's a disproportionate responsibility on the president for national security, whatever it is. So you all ask a lot of international questions, and I answer them. But I just hope it doesn't come out that this is all I'm interested in, because it isn't. There is a funny thing now going on when we go out and we talk about education or we talk about crime bill. People say, well, this is political season. So I will keep plodding along here and making clear what our domestic priorities are, and I will not neglect my responsibilities to try to keep the American people informed on national security matters, lowering the threat from nuclear weapons or events such as Terry asked about in Haiti, so that people know what we're doing. And that's it.
Sir.
I do. I like all kinds of policies. That's a candy bar. You said you wrote a book.